For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Drawing on her decades of personal study, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And you know what else is in the Bible? It says the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? We have a refuge in God if we accept Him, if we receive that refuge, if we're willing to make use of God's promises. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, and I'm talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, from California. Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's wonderful for me to be in California and have an opportunity to do this with Val, and we do get together and have some very interesting conversations about family and marriage and husbands and wives and children and a whole lot of other things, too. And, Val, you've been reading an article by George Gilder, which appeared in the National Review, I think. What was the title?
The title is The Sexual Revolution at Home. It came out in 1986, and you just brought it to me, and I've been fascinated by it. He begins with saying that nearly a century ago, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels first anticipated and revealed to the world the secret dream of the sexual revolutionary. And that is, he goes on to say, that men will do whatever they want whenever they want it, and women will do whatever they want whenever they want it. But then he says that in today's society, this way of thinking is fatal, and yet a constant alertness and attention that none of the sexual liberals remotely understand when they urge that society do it. With fewer children kept longer within the household, the focus on each child is even more intense than it was in the past. I think of how people find out in the grocery store that I have more than two children. I usually have at least three or four with me when I go to the grocery store, and they say they seem to be doing fine, and I have so much trouble with my two. And it's because there's less and less of an acceptance of the gifts from God. In the olden days, mothers regarded their motherhood as inevitable, and they didn't choose it, but they accepted the jobs of motherhood. And I'm just thankful that we have eight children. God has given me the desires of my heart. And of course, there are little troubles every day, but God told us in His Word that He was our refuge, that we would have troubles, but that He would be with us. And that's a real joy.
I want to ask you, Val, would you say that it's four times as difficult to have eight children as it is to have two children? Is it four times as difficult? Or would you say what my mother used to say, that if one child takes all your time, six can't take any more?
I would say that it is easier to have more children because, of course, I have grown in character and my children have grown with grace. And when I had only two, I was struggling and frustrated all the time because I felt like I had no real principles to live by, although I had heard about the principles to raise these children. I didn't really know how to put them into practice, and the more I've had, it seems to be easier. So eight don't take any more time than two or three.
But the older children also do a lot when it comes to teaching and helping the younger children, right?
They do help, yes, a lot, and I definitely need them. I couldn't do it without their help.
Would they just sort of naturally and automatically help, or is this something that you've had to teach?
No, I have to keep teaching them that, and I have to keep making them aware that there's always something that needs to be done. There's always some little person's needs that need to be taken care of, and if I can't do it, then I have to count on them to do it.
Well, today in the studio, we have your newest, little Sarah, who's what, four months old now, and we brought Christiana to take care of her. Christiana's 12 years old, so that's just one lovely illustration. I love watching the way the children take care of each other. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, You know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live lives worthy of God. For Father to do that, those three things, encouraging, comforting, and urging, means?
Self-sacrifice. It means that fathers have to give up their natural desire for exciting sports, games, exciting things like hang gliding and bungee jumping.
Bungee jumping. I can't get over that when I've seen it on TV.
Well, I think over the years, my husband has been made more and more aware of the time that he needs in order to be a good father to the children, and I've become more and more thankful for him because he sees it. And I know that when we had even 4 and 5 children, he didn't spend half the time with the children that he needed to, and yet he does now because he sees how necessary it is. Of course, God's grace covers all of our mistakes, and I wouldn't say that there's any detriment in the children just because at the time that we had 4 or 5, he wasn't spending that much time. Of course, God gives us more and more years to fill up those gaps that we didn't fill in or in earlier years. But I'm more and more thankful for a husband who sees his need to be at home. And he is a pastor, so he can be very busy. And yet he knows that the children need to have a father around.
It must be something that he does make a matter of prayer, too, that the Lord will help him to balance his church family and his biological family.
Definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Does Gilder have some things to say about fatherhood?
Yes. Gilder says that Karl Marx's idea of the sexual revolutionary would be a person who is able to do one thing today and another tomorrow, to hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, criticize after dinner, just as I have a mind, without ever becoming hunter, fisherman, shepherd, or critic. And then he says later in the article that a man has to make heroic efforts to take care of not only his providing role, but to take care of the ones who are at home, who are depending upon him. It says, This combination of lust and wanderlust that's in every man is the very life force that drives him through his youth. He surrenders it only with pain. This male sacrifice, no less than the woman's work in the home, is essential to civilization. Men have to make heroic efforts. They must live for the perennial demands of the provider role. I asked my husband this morning, in what ways does a true father have to sacrifice for his children? And he right away thought of the cost of golf. He said it's not the green fees that are going to cost him. It's the 5 hours away from the family or away from the children. And he said, where did I ever get the idea that I deserved time away from the family for my own golf expertise or how to learn golf or to go out fishing for a whole day or to go hunting with the men, which is what we saw a lot of in Mississippi. The men would be gone for days hunting. He said, I realized that time for the children was much more important and too precious for me to give up just to help my own...
For your own fun, huh?
For my own fun. So I was thankful that he answered me that way, and as I mentioned in this Gilder article, it takes self-sacrifice, constant self-sacrifice. A man and a woman both have to be asking God, where do you want me to lay myself down right now? Where do you want me to give of myself?
Not a very popular concept in America today. I think the ideas of fun and comfort have so laid hold of our imagination as necessities that it's very difficult to even think of sacrifice and servanthood. And fathers and mothers are both servants as well as parents to their children, serving them in all sorts of ways, teaching the children also mm-hmm. that they are to be servants.
Mm-hmm.
But the word sacrifice means is what love is about, isn't it?
That's right. Love is not a feeling, but it's action. And the more my husband and I have realized how much God has given us in our children, the more we've wanted to do positive, helpful, encouraging things for our children, and that takes up our time.
The sexual revolution has really done a job on all of us. I've been watching for the last more than 20 years the results in both men and women, confusion as to roles, and perhaps we can talk about that on another day. The book that I wrote for you back when you first got married called Let Me Be a Woman, which was an attempt to define what womanhood and femininity are about. And I would be very interested in your views on that as well as on masculinity. So I'm glad you could be with me today, Val. It does take some sacrifice on your part to leave your home and your children to be here in the studio. But
thank you.
Thank you for coming.
I'm glad to be here.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.